Open up your Bibles to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew 16. Obviously, this is the week when we remember the culmination of the Lord's ministry here on earth. Palm Sunday, Good Friday, Resurrection Sunday, Easter. You know, when you study the Lord's ministry in the Gospels, one of the things that you notice is that as the Lord taught His disciples over the years, there were two main things that He was trying to get across to them. And one was who He was, and the other was what He came to do. And in Matthew chapter 16, Matthew records for us one of the key places where the Lord transitions from that first objective to the second objective. For example, there's the question here of who Jesus was. Look at Matthew 16, verse 13. He asks the disciples that question. Who do people say that the Son of Man is? And then the disciples answer. And they said, some say John the Baptist, and others Elijah, but still others, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He said to them, but who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now, as you read on, you see, now that Jesus knew that they understood, at least on a surface level, who He was, He goes on to answer that second question. What did He come to do? And He tells them in verse 21, from that time, Jesus Christ began to show His disciples that He must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised up on the third day. Now, right here, right at this point, is where Jesus started His journey to Jerusalem. His journey to Jerusalem to die on the cross and to rise from the dead. But you see, as He goes on, He invites His disciples to follow Him. Look at verse 24. It says, then Jesus said to His disciples, if anyone wishes to come after Me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow Me. For whoever wishes to save his life shall lose it. But whoever loses his life for My sake shall find it. Now, when Jesus said those words, He was obviously talking to those people who were standing right there with Him. But we also know He was talking to anybody else who wanted to follow Him as well. Because if you look at verse 24 again, it says, if anyone wishes to come after Me. And that includes you, and that includes me. During this Easter season, as Michael indicated a few moments ago, we want to encourage you to enter into the events that we remember this week in a fresh way, maybe even in a deeper way. Here's what I mean by that. You know, when Jesus said these things that we just read, He was looking for a response from His disciples when He said those things. He said, if anyone wants to come after Me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow Me. For whoever wishes to save his life shall lose it, but whoever loses his life for My sake shall find it. He's looking for a response. And as we just saw, He's looking primarily at a response in two ways. The first response that He's looking for is that people would deny themselves. And secondly, the response that He's looking for is that they would take up their cross. And then He said, if people do that, they'll experience a result. And the result will be that they will find life. You know, there's an interesting connection between what I've just read to you and the events that we remember this week. Now, this morning is Palm Sunday. Obviously, it's a time where we remember Jesus' final leg of His journey to Jerusalem, where He rides into town on a donkey. But you know, when Jesus did that, He illustrated for us what it means to deny self. Friday, We remember Jesus' suffering for us on the cross. When Jesus did that, he illustrates for us what it means for us to take up our cross. And then, of course, next Sunday, we remember the Lord's resurrection. And again, when Jesus rose from the dead, he illustrated for us what it means to have life. So this morning, we're going to look at denying self, at the idea of entering into Jesus' humility. Friday night, we're going to look at the idea of taking up the cross. In other words, entering in to Jesus' passion. And then next Sunday, we're going to look at Jesus' resurrection and entering in to that resurrection. So that's where we're headed. And to help you to think this morning about entering into the Lord's humility, I want you to watch this. And let's look at Matthew 21 this time. Matthew chapter 21. You know, as the Lord came to the final leg of this journey to Jerusalem, he did something that was a little bit odd. Let's read about it, starting in Matthew 21, verse 1. It says, when they had approached Jerusalem and had come to Bethpage, to the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied there, and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. And if anyone says something to you, you shall say, the Lord is needed them, and immediately he will send them. And then Matthew says, now this took place that what was spoken through the prophet might be fulfilled, saying, say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, even on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden. And the disciples went and did just as Jesus had directed them, and brought the donkey and the colt, and laid on them their garments on which he sat. And most of the multitude spread their garments in the road, and others were cutting branches from the trees and spreading them in the road. And the multitudes going before him, and those following, were crying out, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest! And when he had entered Jerusalem, all the city was stirred, saying, who is this? And the multitudes were saying, this is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee. Now we're all, of course, familiar with the story. We've heard it many, many, many times on this particular Sunday during the year. But think about what's going on here. I mean, what's with Jesus riding into town on a donkey? Obviously, this had nothing to do with the fact that he was too tired to make it the rest of the way. Jesus was used to walking everywhere he went. They walked all up and down the countryside in those days. And it's clear here as we read this that what Jesus was doing through this was trying to communicate something specific. Remember what we read a few minutes ago when we were in Matthew 16? Remember, Jesus asked his disciples, who do people say that I am? And, of course, the disciples responded by telling him what they had heard. And then Jesus asked the question, but who do you say that I am? And remember, Peter said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now, as most of you know, that word Christ is a title. It's a title for Jesus. It means the anointed one. It's the Greek version of the word Messiah. And that title indicates that Jesus was the king who would reign over God's kingdom on earth. Now, when Jesus made this journey into Jerusalem, there were many people who expected Jesus to declare himself king when he got into Jerusalem. And that's why they were saying these things that they were saying. That's why they were saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Son of David is just another title for Christ or Messiah. It's recognizing the fact that Jesus was this king. So these people were basically calling on Jesus to declare himself to be king. But of course, as most of you know, Jesus had another idea in mind. That's not what he had in mind. Now, how do we know that? Well, one way we know that is because Jesus rode into town on a donkey. Look back at Matthew 21, verse 4. It says, "Now this took place that what was spoken through the prophet might be fulfilled, saying, 'Say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, even on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden.'" Now, as Matthew indicates there, what I just read in that second verse is a quote from the Old Testament. It's from the Old Testament prophet Zechariah. It comes from Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. And what it tells us there, what Zechariah is telling us, is that the king riding into town on a donkey is a statement. And it's a statement about the king's humility. So in effect, when Jesus rode into Jerusalem on a donkey, he was basically, in effect, riding down the road of humility. It was declaring that he was humble. Just like Jesus was born into humble circumstances, and he lived in humble circumstances, in the same way, the last time he had a chance to make a public statement about himself, the statement that he made was that he was humble. Now, following Jesus means the same thing for us. See, if we're going to enter into Jesus' journey, so to speak, and be followers of his, then that also means that we need to enter into his humility. And we need to be humble, just like him. Jesus said, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself." Denying yourself is basically all about humility. Let's amplify that a little bit this morning. The Apostle Paul makes that connection between denying self and humility in Philippians chapter 2. Let's turn there and see what he says. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. Then we got the letters of Paul, Romans, 1 and 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians. Stop at Philippians chapter 2. Paul writes, "If therefore there is any encouragement in Christ, if there is any consolation of love, if there is any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and compassion, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose." The thing I want you to notice there is that Paul says we need to have the same mindset. What is that mindset that he wants us to have? Let's look at the next couple of verses he tells us. Verse 3 says, "Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, let each of you regard one another as more important than himself. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others." Now, what Paul is writing about here is the same thing that Jesus was talking about. Jesus said, "If any man would come after me, let him deny himself." Paul's talking about the same thing. He's talking about denying self. For example, he says, "Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit." Denying self involves not being motivated by selfishness, or it says empty conceit. That word empty conceit actually in the Greek language is just one word, and it could be literally translated empty glory. What it's talking about is not living for your own glory, which of course is an empty pursuit. So if we're denying self, we're not living for our own glory. See, we consider other people as more important than ourselves, like Paul talks about here. We put other people's interests ahead of our own. So you see here that just like Jesus was talking about, Paul is talking about denying ourselves. And he says that one of the things that helps us to do that is humility of mind. Now, as he goes on, he paints a picture of what humility of mind looks like. Look at verse 5. He says, have this attitude. Actually, the word attitude is the same word as the word mind when it says humility of mind. So he says, have this mind, this attitude, this mindset in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant, and being made in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. So what was the mindset of Jesus? Well, as you study this, you see that basically what the mindset was that he didn't live for his own glory. He wasn't living for his own glory. Look at verses 6, 7, and 8 again. It tells us in verse 7 that Jesus emptied himself of something. It says, when he left heaven, he emptied himself of something. What did he empty himself of? Well, look at verse 6. It tells us there that Jesus existed in the form of God. Then it says in verse 7 that he took on the form of a servant. And then it tells us in verse 7 also at the end that he was made in the likeness of men. And then it tells us in verse 8 that he took on the appearance of a man. So form, likeness, appearance. Now, I know many of you use the NIV translation, and it doesn't say form there. It says nature. That's an unfortunate translation because the Greek word morphe does not mean nature. It means form. And all the other translations capture that accurately. Form, likeness, appearance. What's it talking about? It's talking about the way that Jesus looked when you looked at him. So when you looked at him, what did you see? See, Paul's point here is that when Jesus left heaven, he did not look the same way as he looked when he was in heaven with the Father before he came down to earth. He didn't look the same way. And the reason he didn't look the same way is because he left the glory behind. Now, how do I know that? Well, one way that I know that is because of a prayer that Jesus prayed the night before he went to the cross. He prayed in that prayer, I glorified you on the earth, having accomplished the work which you've gave me to do. And now glorify me together with yourself, Father, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. So what Jesus was asking the Father to do was to give him back the glory that he used to have. Because he didn't have it right then. He said, I'm coming back to you. Give me back the glory. Now, that prayer tells us that Jesus did not have the same glory, didn't look the same way on earth as he did previously in heaven. So what did he look like before then? Well, I think we can assume that the Father answered that prayer. And so to find out what Jesus looked like before he came to earth, all we need to do is see a picture of what he looked like after he went back to heaven. And we actually have that picture in Revelation chapter 1. Don't bother turning there. I just want you to listen. I'm going to read it to you. Revelation chapter 1. John says this. He says, I turned to see the voice that was speaking with me. And having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands, and in the middle of the lampstands, one like a son of man, clothed in a robe, reaching to the feet. And girded across his breast with a golden girdle. And his head and his hair were white like wool, like snow. And his eyes were like a flame of fire. And his feet were like burnished bronze when it has been caused to glow in a furnace. And his voice was like the sound of many waters. And in his right hand he held seven stars. And out of his mouth came a sharp two-edged sword. And his face was like the sun, shining in its strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet like a dead man. You know, when the Lord appeared to John in all of his glory, John had no problem at all figuring out who Jesus was. You notice John didn't say, "Who are you?" He knew exactly who he was. And John responded to him the same way that every person throughout history has ever responded when they came face to face with the glory of God. He fell to the ground on his face. But when Jesus walked on the earth, people didn't respond to him that way. And the reason was because he didn't look the same, because he left the glory behind. In fact, the constant question was, who is this guy? And if you remember what we read in Matthew 21 this morning, that's the question they asked when he rode into Jerusalem on a donkey, came into the city, and Matthew records, when he had entered Jerusalem, all the city was stirred, saying, "Who is this?" Now, the reason they were asking that question is because he looked like any other man, because he left the glory behind. Now, what's the point of all that? Well, the point is that in his humility, the Lord allowed himself to just live life unrecognized by everybody. For 30 years about, approximately 30 years, he lived life on this earth, and nobody really knew who he really was. See, Jesus spent all that time without getting the recognition that he deserved. And then at the end of the whole thing, the people who hated Jesus arrested him, and then they spit on him, and then they beat him up, and then they paraded him through the city, took him outside of the city, and threw him down on top of a wooden cross, and nailed nails in his hands and his feet, and stood the cross up, and they let him hang there until he died. What was the mindset of Jesus? He did not grasp on to his own glory. But he lived life as a servant without anybody knowing who he was. And he just entrusted the whole thing to God. And that was okay with him. And then Paul says, "And have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus." That's what it means to enter into his humility. You know, this morning, going through the door in our drama represents following Jesus. And the trophies in the bag represented the things that we are doing for our own glory. And as you saw in the skit, you can't go through the door as long as you're clutching on to your trophies. See, that's why Jesus said, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself." See, if we want to follow Jesus, we've got to go down the same road he went down. We've got to go down the road marked humility. What are the trophies that you're hanging on to this morning? Just as I asked that question, does anything come to mind? What are the trophies that you're hanging on to this morning? The things that you're living for your glory rather than God's? If anything comes to mind, I want you to make a mental note of it right now. In fact, maybe I'd even just write it down. See, the main reason that we hang on to trophies, you know, things for our own glory, is because we don't want to die to self. We don't want to deny self. But Jesus said, if any man would follow me, let him deny himself. Now, I'm just like you. I recognize that there are times in my own life when I'm just living for self, living for my own glory. And when I'm that way, one of the things that really helps me get my head screwed on straight is to go back to a prayer that I came across years ago, written originally by St. Francis of Assisi. And I've printed it for you in your bulletin. And what I'd like to do to close our time this morning is just go to prayer and give you an opportunity to pray that prayer to God. And as we go to prayer, let's start with this question that I asked a moment ago. Is there a trophy that I'm hanging on to that keeps me from following Jesus? So ask the question, you know, are there things that I'm living for my own glory? So ask the question first, and then listen, and let God speak to you. And after you've asked the question, then let's pray the prayer. And I mean that. Let's pray this prayer, not just read it. Make the prayer your own prayer. You may fill in the blanks in between each line. You may think of things as you pray, that specific situations or circumstances, let's say, that God brings to your mind. Pray about those things. And let's just ask God to give us the mind of Christ. I'll also put the words up on the screen. Let's just go to prayer. Let me lead us off, and then let's meet with God for a bit. Father, we want to thank you for the example of your Son. And Lord, we want to pray now and ask you to speak to us and listen as we speak back to you. Father, it strikes me as I pray through these words and think about them one more time, that this man who wrote these words hundreds of years ago had on his heart what you have on your heart. He thought a lot like Jesus. And Father, I think as I read these words one more time that it reminds me of how far this is from where I generally tend to think. Lord, I think we would all admit that we do fear these things. We do desire the things that are listed here. Lord, would you please change us and make us more like your Son? Lord Jesus, I want to thank you today that you are willing to model all this for us. And I thank you that you have left your Spirit in our lives to help us to live this way. We are so grateful for that. was humility for you to come to earth, humility for you to stay on earth, humility for you to die on earth. And even more humility that you did it for us. We want to thank you for that. But I pray that you would make us like you. Deliver us, Jesus, from the desire to be praised, from the desire to be honored, from the desire to be glorified or preferred or consulted or approved. Lord, you know we desire all those things and we seek after them. Help us to die to those things. And deliver us, Jesus, from the fears of being humiliated or criticized or forgotten or ridiculed, maltreated, from the fear of what others think. Lord, you know we are immobilized by all those things. We do care about what others think. We don't want to be criticized or humiliated. But Lord, allow us to be that for you and for your glory. And I pray, Lord, that you would give us the grace, because that's what we need for any of this stuff, Lord. We need your grace and your power. The desire that others would be loved ahead of us, or esteemed ahead of us, or that in the eyes of the world they would increase while we decrease. Lord, that is not natural. You know that. Give us your nature, your abilities, your power to be that way. Lord, we want to be noticed. And yet you are willing to live unnoticed. Help us to live like that. And Lord, that in all situations others would be preferred. That we would honestly consider others as more important than ourselves. Lord, we need a change from the inside out to make that happen. And Lord, even that others would be more holy than us. That's an incredible thought. So that we might be holy as you would want us to be. Lord, we want that because it's like Jesus. Please help us.